taken out of the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. For those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favour. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water, with a little wine in your stomach and your frequent. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others shall behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain forever. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that in God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who believe in masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers. Are to promote the welfare of the slaves. And this is the word of the Lord. So I've got a question as we're reading through this. How should leadership in the church be dealt with? How should leadership in the church be dealt with? We're looking today at how to deal with the church leadership, what's important about appointing a certain leadership. Should they be treated differently? And sometimes the answer is yes, they should be. Leadership in the church should be treated differently. Now this is a potentially a very dangerous statement. I want to be careful. I'm not saying that leadership in the church is anything special. We're all sinners. Passages like the one we're looking at today are what some wicked people use to justify getting away with certain things and maybe get loads of money from being a preacher and people. It's not hard nowadays to look online and see those who do this. All you have to do is go on YouTube and you find a load of people like Joel Austin, Nate Jake, Franco Dollar, Ken Clinton. There's so many of them who are worth millions and hundreds of millions to their church. And also in recent years, we've seen many abuse scandals. Search on Google finds that too. This makes us realise just how important it is that the church appoints the correct people and that people are dealt with early on rather than being allowed to get worse and worse. Our passage today is all about authority and how authority in the church is to be treated and responded to. We'll look at how to respond to church leadership through honouring them and how when they should be refused and put into their position. And lastly, we'll look at positional authority within the household of the church. Let me read again from verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. The scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is in the grain, and the worker deserves wages. A few weeks ago, when we were looking at chapter 3, we saw the use of overseer and deacon. And as we've been going through this book, we've been thinking about how the household of God, the local church, is to be ordered. And many things in our context are different to the context of Ephesus, who we're writing to. We're not in the same situation as that church. And we're not told exactly who the elders are here in 1 Timothy and what made them elders. But what we do see is that they are in position of authority. So as we read through these verses today, I want you to see that what we learn about the elders here in Ephesus and how they're to be honoured and disciplined and given their role. Much of what we see today can be applied to both in leadership in the church and those with authoritative positions in the church. As we look at this passage today, I'll be using the language of leadership a lot of time rather than elder. I may even use it interchangeably. I'm not saying elders and leadership are the same. elders. But I think the context of this passage is that Paul is saying to show honour and deal with the elders correctly who are doing the leading. Therefore, I think whether you're an elder or not, if you're teaching or directing the church, the affairs of the church, then these things apply to you. But if you're teaching or directing the affairs of the church, you deserve to be treated in a way, in the same way as the scribes do. It isn't them being elders which is making them get treated this way. It is the role they have as elders. So our first point today is church leadership deserves honour. If you go back, Daniel, and just get rid of the slides now, because I've got many slides. These are closed in. So, great. Our first point today is church leadership deserves honour. In our first couple of verses, we see that those who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour. So Paul is saying to Timothy that those elders in the church, Timothy's dad, are worthy of double honour. And when it says double honour, I believe it just means lots of honour. So Paul is emphasising the point that you are to really honour those who are labouring to run the church. To show respect to those who labour to help govern the church. Showing respect to those, say, on the PCC, or those leading Sunday school, or the Sunday church, meeting here. But Paul tells us how particularly that he wants them in Ephesus to be honoured. Verse 18, he's saying, let the church they work for, support them financially. Paul isn't endorsing the prosperity gospel here. He isn't saying give Reese and Joel loads of money because they're preaching. In the context it's written, quoting Jesus, it is to look after those who are spending so much time for the benefit of the church. If someone is preparing sermons, they need time. If they need time, then they may not be able to work. So Paul is saying support them, especially teaching, because teaching is needed. The proclamation of the word in the church has to happen. But that means supporting those who preach. Honour is not saying to people that you're so great. It isn't worshipping, it isn't making people more than they are. It isn't that they're a celebrity. Our context in the passage shows that honour is looking after those who work. Our first quote in verse 18 says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out with grain. We see that it's speaking about animals that work the land. You don't not let the animal eat from the work they do. So if someone is working always for the gospel, for the church, then it makes them, I suppose, they're working with, to support them. They work for that church, so it makes sense for the church that can, if it can, to support them. And verse 18 says, the worker deserves his wages. This is a quote from Jesus. This is when he sends out 72 people in his name to spread the good news. And he expects that the people that they spread the good news to accept it and to look after them, to feed them, to help them. And we do see this in action today. We have people like Joel paid by the Church of England to be a vicar here at Beckenham Church. Now I thank God for those who support you guys and a lot of friends from around the country, old friends of the so that I can work for the time. We know this isn't always possible, let's be real. When we hear about Chris and Ross, for example, the missionaries in Uganda, some of the pastors that Chris works with have over 30 churches and they don't get paid to them. They have to grow food themselves. That's not always possible. But we've often, in England, been fortunate enough to have congregations that have enough to support that full-time ministry. But it's actually getting harder. Sometimes churches don't get paid to. The church leadership deserves honour, and Paul's saying in this section that if it is the right thing to do. And let's read from verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sitting, who are asking the proof of what everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality, to do nothing out of faith. Paul wants to protect leadership from false accusations. Verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's supported by two or three people. When someone accuses someone of a leadership of doing something wrong, and I think this is something serious, it makes sense to only deal with that accusation if more than one person has seen it, or more than one person testifies to what the person has done. And it makes sense, doesn't it? We've seen recently the Me Too movement, when women have been speaking out against those who have done bad things. Most people who have done bad things have been accused by multiple people. There's always more than one. And in recent years, there's been dodgy victims, people who have bullied people. And there's always a few people who come out and say they're victims. When they're actually proven to have done these things, there's always more than one. And this isn't that we don't understand or we don't talk to people who accuse someone of something. But more than one witness is needed, and that gives more privilege and faith. One person gets one person, which is one word, gets another. Just like in the reading earlier from the Church of God, God gives us ways in which to help us have comfort within the church. And that was to Israel at the time, his people, so that his people know how to deal with certain circumstances and deal with those who are doing wrong. Furthermore, if, for example, someone gets annoyed once with someone, maybe they're just having a bad day. Sometimes it's a one-off silly offense. And the leader says, sorry for it, but if it happens again and again, and more people notice, it needs to be dealt with. And verse 20 supports this. For those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. So if they continue to do what they're doing, so say they get angry and shouting and being mean constantly, if that continues, then it needs to be dealt with. See that it says, who are sinning? This is someone who is still doing what they're accused of. Someone who hasn't changed, who hasn't stopped, or they're accused of someone that needs to be dealt with. So don't stop the bullying, for example, that must be dealt with. It says they are to be reproved in front of everyone. A reprove is to formally, so in front of the congregation, tell them off. So maybe that would be done in church. It isn't just for the sake of it, it isn't to shame them. There is a reason for it, so that the others may take warning. When it says others, I think it's particularly talking about the rest of the leadership. The others, I assume the others are speaking about the other elders in the church who need leading them, so that the others, the rest of the leadership, they need to see that it's not okay chapter verse 25. Those who care about the growth of Jesus' kingdom and live in a certain way that shows that their good deeds will eventually be seen. Even if they're humble and don't see it straight away, you will see. Patience is good. It will let you see those who shouldn't be in the kingdom and will also show you who should be. And this shows the importance of spending time with people, getting to know people, seeing how they live, how they respond to the Lord Jesus. Give it time, and the good or bad deeds will show. Verse 23, I'm not going to spend much time on it. Possibly, it's a very strange verse. Stop drinking only with the same use of this one. It's not great for illnesses. Many people don't know, they're not completely sure what it is. Possibly, Timothy is not drinking alcohol, which helps him, because he drinks something that's unhelpful for the church, or maybe his speeches are accusing him of drinking too much. Maybe. But, as I was saying, these verses show the importance of knowing what is the right thing to judge future leaders well. It isn't great confidence, it isn't the ability to speak really well at the front, it isn't the ability to manage people well, it's their character, as outlined in chapter 3. The qualifications for the elders, or the overseers, or the deacons, all about pretty much the way they live. But we're not perfect. And we don't always make the right choice. And sometimes people will fall off, and they may seem right for the position, but actually they're not. And sometimes we all think someone seems right, but it later turns out they're not quite right. And this is part of the reason many churches do apprenticeship schemes or training first. It gives people time to think about what person to be right for them to be a leadership position. Church leadership is patient. Let me read from chapter 6, verse 1. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who are believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better, because their masters are dear to them, and fellow believers are devoted to them in their way. Our fourth point is Christian servants should treat their masters as well. Christian servants should treat their masters as well. We're speaking about masters and slaves, and Paul, as he often does, goes against social convention to speak in a way that is shocking, and it does shock me. Paul is saying that slaves should treat their masters well so that no one can say anything bad about the gospel. Good deeds and good behaviour is good for the gospel. Paul goes on in verse 2 to say they shouldn't have the attitude of my masters are Christians, so I can do what I want. They should want to serve even more because they're a Christian brother. Now, it's sometimes hard to read verses like this and understand what Paul's saying. Because when we think of slavery, and many of us think of these people like the transatlantic slave trade, they were horrible, there's no denying that. However, slavery has been suffered for many thousands of years, and in many cultures for reasons. But look at the Israelites in the book of Exodus, how bad it was then. However, in many cultures, it's not always the same. Sometimes slavery is a broader term. So in the Old Testament, becoming a slave to the Israelites, their own people became slaves to each other. It was often a choice to help yourself out financially, so someone would help you out in return. They would become part of your family and work for them as a member of the family. Be treated as a member of the family. In the Roman culture, which this is at the same time of, it was estimated that 10 to 20% of people were slaves. 10 to 20% of people were slaves. And some would have been in good situations, like the Israelite culture, and some would have had bad ones. And Paul isn't expecting to change the whole situation in Rome. But he would tell the people he's writing to how to live and support the growth of the gospel and bring glory to God. And today we're not in a situation with slaves in Britain, at least. But when we're at work, we should treat our bosses well. Some will be horrible, some will be nice. And if they are Christians, even more so should we treat them. 16, this passage is all about authority and how we are to respond to it, particularly church authority. How should church leaders should be dealt with? Should be funded, be supported in what they do, if it needs to be financially, they continue laboring, particularly teaching and preaching. It should be rebuked in front of the whole church congregation if they continue in a certain way. And they should be patiently appointed. Make sure you see how someone is. Give it time to see what they're like. And this is all for the sake of the gospel. Jesus died. He rose and he saw the chapter. He is the Lord of all. That message of salvation, of what the church needs to be proclaiming, it needs to have the right leaders. It needs to have the right government. Having leaders who hurt people, having leaders who are corrupt, that won't benefit the gospel. That affects the message of truth throughout the nation. It's really important that those governing terms and teaching from the Bible are dealt with correctly, so the message of truth is not affected. The message of truth that Jesus saves us. Let me pray. Right people, and when to honour and rebuke them too, for the glory.